whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And to talk about that, the state of the Cleveland Browns and more, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, welcome to the show, friend.
Yeah, I'm fired up. That was fantastic. I actually know Mike Bloomgren a little bit, so I can add some insight here. This is a good day.
All right. Well, we're just going to start there. What can you tell us about Mike Bloomgren?
So I remember meeting Mike, I think, when he was with the Jets and was Callahan's assistant O-line coach. And then he went out to Stanford, and I thought he did a really good job at Stanford. That's when Stanford was, like, producing NFL O-linemen left and right. It's like when they had Andrew Luck, when they were really good. Really everywhere, right? But especially O-line, tight end. And then he got the Rice job. And I think I did 2 Rice games while he was the head coach there over the last 5 or 6 years. They played Army on a Friday night. They played Wake Forest. So good dude. I like that he has the head coaching background, but now he's kind of going back to, I mean, it's tough to win at Rice. So going back to his background as an O-line guy, and in particular, being a Callahan disciple, I think he'll do well.
All right, so my co-host said because Mike Bloomgren is coached at Stanford and Rice, that must mean he is smart.
They did put it in the pamphlet. So, you know, obviously they mean that, Ross.
They don't call you a dummy in a pamphlet in a press
obviously
release.
Obviously they mean that, Ross.
But his schooling was from Florida State in Alabama.
Master's from Alabama.
Just because Mike Bloomgren coached at Stanford and Rice, is he smart?
No.
No, you asked an Ivy League guy.
Where you coach, there, I had plenty of coaches at Princeton that were definitively not smart.
Alabama's not dumb, Ross.
Yeah, yes.
Who
it
said
is.
It is?
I did.
Nick did.
Yeah. Comparatively.
He said a master's at Alabama is dumb.
Alabama has plenty of quality students, and if you Google it, they'll tell you about their research and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. If you Google me, I'll tell you I'm a good lover. Doesn't mean it's true.
He got the right job because he was the O-line coach and coordinator, whatever, at Stanford, right? Like, okay, this guy knows what it's like to recruit kids with a good GPA, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
It's a good win for me today.
It's not a, I mean, 4.0
really
master's degree at Alabama doesn't make you a dum-dum,
yeah,
I don't think.
Yeah, transfer
wait,
that
wait,
to
wait, wait, wait. He had a 4.0?
4.0 for his master's at Alabama.
At Alabama.
And Nick said...
The 2.0 at Michigan.
Nick said they have to fly in doctors to the state because they don't have enough that are able to be educated at Alabama to do so.
I said that...
And then they scream roll tide at the end of giving you a diagnosis.
Okay, I did say that. I said, Mr. Jenkins, you have cancer. Roll Tide. This is turning us into like one giant dub for me.
Yeah, Nick, you're winning today, man. I mean, that is fantastic. Oh, I like that. I will say, I don't really take into account the master's degree 4.0 because he probably got his master's while he was a GA coaching, you know? And so, I don't know. In Alabama, they probably don't even make the guys have to actually go to class to get, you know, if they're like a graduate assistant, they probably just give them a 4.0 if they beat Auburn.
Feels right. So good.
So everyone's in agreement? Mike Bloomgren is just an idiot? Is that what we're saying?
Is it inconceivable that he's any intelligence? The best way to have a long career on the radio is to make complete stereotypical generalizations about entire states and universities. That usually goes over well.
Right here, baby.
Well, Tommy Reese went to Notre Dame, so he's got to be really smart, and that would be a good move for offensive coordinator, right, Ross?
Well, I do like Tommy, but just because he went to Notre Dame doesn't mean he's really smart. He went there on a football scholarship, which, I mean, that's the only reason why Nick got into Bowling Green.
Yep.
Nick wishes.
Is that where you went?
Nick wishes.
I did.
That was
an Ivy League school. There's ivy on the walls. Check it.
Did you play football?
No, hell no.
No.
Those guys have talent, Ross. You've heard me.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, look, I think Tommy's smart. Interestingly, let's tie this all together. Last year, when I did the Alabama-Ole Miss game, the offensive coordinator for Alabama was?
Tommy Reese.
Tommy Reese. So Tommy Reese and Blomgren have the decades-apart Alabama connection going, for sure.
Oh, so they're both stupid.
Finally.
Apparently.
Got to the bottom of it.
Roll Tide.
Ross, Browns have the number two pick in the draft. I know it's early, but do you think they should be locked in on taking a quarterback?
No, I don't. And honestly, I don't think they will be. I still think they're going to get a low-priced veteran. That's my take. I still think they're getting Kirk Cousins or Daniel Jones or Justin Fields, and then they're going to get Travis Hunter to play corner opposite of Denzel, but also play receiver in some packages that they can win double-digit games and Stefanski and Andrew Berry can keep their jobs. That would be my guess, which, by the way, is probably what I would do. Unless they love one of these rookie quarterbacks, like love them, then they could go that route. Then you don't have to make the playoffs. Then you just have to show progress and show that the rookie quarterback is the real deal and the future, and then that's good enough to keep your job. So I think that's the debate. Do we go with a veteran rehab project, a.k.a. like a Darnold, Baker Mayfield type, what those guys have done in their new stops? Do we do that with some of the aforementioned guys? Daniel Jones makes a lot of sense to me, but so does Cousins because of the cost. And then we take Travis Hunter and become dynamic, more dynamic on both sides of the ball. Or do we go with the rookie quarterback, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, and we feel really good about them to the point where we can be competitive, win 7, 8, or 9 games, and play our best at the end of the year and have people optimistic about 2026. Remember, when in doubt, every decision made in pro football is made for one's own personal job security.
So if you were Stefanski and Berry, which one would you make?
I would go with the veteran quarterback, and I would draft Travis Hunter. Mm. I think he's going to be a 1.5 position difference maker. Like, I think he starts at corner and is really good. And then I think in certain receiver sets, because you can say, like, well, could he really play both ways and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so then if it's 3rd and 8, would you rather have Travis Hunter out there or Elijah Moore? I mean, I don't know. I'd rather have Travis Hunter out there. I have more faith that he'll be able to make a play. So I think you'd be better. You get better on both sides of the ball. Let's call it 1.5 position. I don't think he'd be a full-time receiver. I think he'd be a package receiver. And then I believe in Stefanski's offense with the new O-line coach, I believe he can get a really solid year out of Daniel Jones or Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins to the point where the Browns could win double-digit games and make the playoffs. That would be the tact I would go to, because with a rookie quarterback, it could be disastrous, and then you're just gone.
Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So we've got Sanders and Ward in the kitty. Some are suggesting that Drew Aller, if he plays well the rest of the playoffs, might reverse his decision to go back to Penn State. If all three were in this draft and the Browns were dead set on taking a quarterback, which quarterback do you think they should hope would fall to them at two?
I think Cam Ward. I think that's the guy I feel best about. Look, I watch almost every snap of Penn State, and I think Drew is a good quarterback. I think he could benefit from another year. You know, it's hard to compare these guys sometimes because I think Cam Ward's been in college like 5 or 6 years, where Drew is a true junior. I mean, Drew's like 21 years old. This is his third year, and I just think there's still some situational stuff where, he takes sacks when he shouldn't. He's more of like your prototypical pocket passer, big arm guy, which, those guys don't go, we don't see as many of them anymore. I mean, he can move around a little bit, but he's not going to run very much. And I think you want the mobility and the dynamic movement of a guy like Cam Ward. Because even Shedeur Sanders doesn't move that great. He moves better than Aller. But I think Cam Ward, that aspect of it, that Jaden Daniels aspect of it, I think is significant. So that would be who I would go with.
Yeah, yesterday I was hyping up the idea that Shedeur Sanders is, just wildly accurate. The most accurate quarterback in FBS last year, completed 74% of his passes. And I think he'd be an ideal fit for Stefanski's system. He's good and short to intermediate. Again, wildly accurate is the theme there, though. Do you feel like that would make sense if you're the Browns from that perspective, or is it just a misread on Shedeur?
Super accurate. Super tough. I think you'd have to do a lot of background work and have a lot of discussions with Shedeur about whether he wants to be in Cleveland, how it would work. That's an interesting situation, Jonathan. Like, I'll give you an example. I called the Colorado State game on TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in production meetings, Shedeur chose not to meet with us, which I thought was interesting. Like, in the NFL, you can't do that. He was able to make those decisions or do what he wanted to do in college, and that's totally fine. But I just think it was he has a unique background. And I think Colorado was a unique environment. And I would just make very, very darn sure that Shedeur would be on board with being a professional in every way that you need him to be a professional. And I don't know that he wouldn't be. I just, they had a unique environment at Colorado. Is probably the best way to describe it, at least as far as what I've seen in terms of kind of who was running the show. It certainly felt like, from my experience, that the players were running the show in Colorado, and they had a lot of success this year, and maybe that's fine, but I think that's going to be a wake-up call for him. And to a lesser extent, Travis Hunter is like going from college where you were – it was a player-run operation, and you were kind of running the show, to the NFL, where you're going to be a rookie and you're not running any show like that. You're not running the show. So, I think the concern with Shedeur would be is the on-field physical ability going to be worth whatever concerns anybody might have about how he's going to go about his business.
Ross, our friends at FanDuel have the Steelers as 9.5-point dogs to the Ravens this weekend. Steelers fans are acting like they've already lost this game. Should they be?
No, but it's an uphill climb. By the way, how about the weekend for your boy? I'm driving an hour and 15 minutes south of my house to go to Baltimore Saturday. I'm on the sideline. Westwood won.
Crab cakes.
Steelers at the Ravens.
And football.
Then I drive home. Then Sunday morning we go to church. Then I drive an hour and a half east to Philly, and I'm in the booth for Packers-Eagles. So two playoff games, back-to-back days, no hotels, no airplanes. Like, that's unheard of. Like, that's unbelievable. Very much looking forward to it. I'll never say never in the Steelers-Ravens rivalry, in particular because of, you know, how much success the Steelers have had against Lamar Jackson. But, man, I mean, Steelers are one of three teams ever to lose four straight games going into the playoffs. The Ravens, I think, are one of two or three teams ever to go into the playoffs having won, like, I don't know if it's three or four games in a row by double digits. I mean, these are two teams going in vastly different directions coming into this one.
Ross, really great stuff, not just because you have validated a lot of my opinions on smart people and dumb people, but enjoy the double duty this weekend. Enjoy the playoffs. You killed it, as always, this regular season. We appreciate you, buddy.
Sounds great. I got two things for you guys today. Later, dudes, and roll tide.
Roll Tide. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And, of course, insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We're going to react to what he had to say about Shedeur Sanders. And I will tell you, not what Ross said, but what one analyst said is a reason to not draft Shedeur Sanders. Might be the dumbest reason to not do so. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. And it's interesting, so much of the Deshaun, the Shedeur conversation is reliant on, I don't love the dad, right?
Yeah.
Which is fair if you've heard Deion talk and that doesn't work for you, if he's just not your cup of tea. But I think it's interesting that Ross kind of paints something we didn't get to yesterday. I mean, maybe I'm just seeing like snippets of him after games. Yeah, I think the personality thing's really interesting. I don't want to call it a red flag because, again, I don't know him enough. I just think it's interesting that Ross had that experience when, like, some of the stuff with the Colorado State quarterback, it's kind of left a bad taste in my mouth and something that I think not a red flag, but definitely maybe further investigation.
I thought it was really fascinating because, you know, I mean, Ross clearly cares about whether or not they like sat there and talked to him. Like that was he said so many nice things about the on the field, and I'm always just so focused on the field. We have to obviously consider off the field as well. I like the point that Ken made earlier today about the idea like who else would be better prepared to come into a place that has expectations, has a lot riding on you than someone that went through all the expectations that Shedeur just went through. Like, I'm sorry that he was rude in a production meeting and didn't want to meet with you. I just look at that.
I think that's a real thing because again, you're not going to be able to call your shots like that in the NFL.
No, you can't at all. I mean, but that's also part of the job in the NFL for sure. It's not part of the job in Colorado. Like that's not something that is they can mandate that you do.
But players generally follow the coach's lead.
They
on
do
that.
For the most part. But again, the NFL
not
is
for
a,
the most part. Like I would say, like the 1% get to do the I'm not going to go do that thing.
Right, and he did it, and he did it clearly. And so, like, but in the NFL, you can't do that. As we've talked about, that is a mandated thing you have to do in the NFL. Everyone from Tom Brady down was doing that every single week.
So I think why it's interesting is, and this actually harkens back to what Jason Lloyd asked Andrew Berry, where they called Buffalo. This is Jason saying that, you know, he had reported that they had called Buffalo and said, what can you tell us about Ken Dorsey?
Yeah.
And then everything that that Buffalo reported back to you as a weakness ended up rearing its head this year. So that was a case of you sought some sort of guidance and some sort of information, and then you ignored it because it wasn't the outcome you want. That seems to be something that I think, whether it is not seeking that or ignoring it, even in kind of some of the through lines with like Deshaun Watson. So I think that is something specific to Shedeur because of the personality. Now, again, this has nothing to do with his dad. And there are a lot of dumb reasons. And let me tell you, it does have something to do
with his dad, though, because his dad obviously allowed him to do it. His dad is the head coach.
Yeah, but there's, again, like this
is... Like, I think most other situations, Nick, they're not allowed to do it because if you're, even let's say you're Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, Kingsbury's like, you got to do those things, man. Like, clearly, Deion let him kind of go and do whatever he wanted.
It's not just that. It is the post-game exchanges. It is some of the interactions that Shador has had with the media. Now, listen, in fairness, I bet you there are people out there who watch what Shador has done and said, oh, he reminds me of Baker. He's got a chip on his shoulder, right? And I if you see that, I totally get it. Because there were points this year where I saw that. I was like, I kind of like that, right? Where it's cocky. There are also points where he's just kind of arrogant. And I think, again, just to get to drive the bigger...
I think the Baker point's a good point, though. Can we sit on that for a second?
Sure.
Because I do think the Baker point's a good point. Because he does come across a kid that he's got a lot of chips on his shoulder. But he also, I think, always thought one dynamic of the Baker thing that was really interesting, at least from the college perspective, and then it got a little muddied in the NFL, was the idea that, and I see this with Shador, too, the fact that although media members can turn around and be like, oh, well, he did this and I didn't like it, and he did this and I didn't like it, like Travis Hunter... The amount of how vocal he's been and what a great teammate he is, mm-hmm. and all the guys around Colorado, where it should just be a look at me type culture, and how they go so hard in the paint for what a great teammate he is. I think the Baker comp there is very interesting because I think that might be a one for one.
So what's interesting, but what you just said, I don't want to, because we might get into the weeds really quickly there. I just think again, the Browns have sought advice from people who have been given honest assessments. And then they didn't listen to him. And almost every piece, every time that I can think of, and this actually even predates Stefanski and Berry, every time that I can think of hearing that, it has led to a disastrous draft pick. It was Johnny Manziel. Hey, this guy parties too much. Ignored the hell out of it.
Yeah,
hey,
I don't look at Johnny as the same way. Partying and doing all that stuff is not the same.
You're missing the point. I'm not making the literal comparison of Johnny to. I'm talking about the Browns' habit of disregarding direct feedback that they've been given, and I think that's worth talking about within the Shador thing, whether he's a fit here or not.
Is Travis Hunter then off the board for you as well because of all the stuff around Colorado?
Did he show up to the meetings? I don't know.
We don't know that.
Yeah,
we could have asked Ross that.
I will say I think Travis is an insane athlete. I'm a little concerned about him being overvalued as a number one pick in the NFL draft.
Okay. I mean, he brings a lot. He brings a lot to the, as far as different conversations around him and his girlfriend bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, she brings a lot.
She brings a lot.
Apparently, other guys too.
He's now, but yeah.
Talking downtown.
I like how you've adopted it. Yeah, it's just fun to say. It sounds like to me that you think this is a red flag that the Browns should be considering. I bet they would. By the way, I bet this is part of the big picture Shador conversation. These are the type of things that they do have to evaluate and look at.
So it's so funny. I think one of the two dumb, we're gonna play the other one in a minute. I think one of the two dumbest narratives on drafting Shador or not drafting him is his dad. But I think that thing cuts both ways.
See, I wonder how much of this stems from the idea that he was around his dad, obviously, and his dad is a big influence in his life, the way that if your dad was an NFL, one of the great Hall of Fame players of all time, and then was your head coach, you'd probably want to follow in his footsteps in many ways. I just wonder if he gets away from his dad, if a lot of that can get cleaned up a little bit.
Well, okay, so...
It's a guessing game, though.
But to get back to the point of the Deion thing, it's a dumb thing to say, you shouldn't draft him because of Deion. It's also a dumb thing if you don't look into Shador himself, because you're just ignoring it in a big blanket thing of, well, mm-hmm. people's real problem is with Deion himself.
You're drafting the whole player. I mean, that's all these evaluations. You're drafting the whole player.
So are you ready for the actual dumbest thing I've heard? The dumbest reason you shouldn't take Shador. You ready for it?
Because it came from somebody breath.
That I massively respect, which is Mel Kiper, DraftNik, ESPN. He was on ESPN Radio, and this was his thinking on why the Browns shouldn't take Shador Sanders.
I don't think Cleveland would be the play. Remember, Deshaun Watson went there because they paid him a lot of money to get him to go there, which ended up being a big mistake. But at the end of the day, that's why he ended up in Cleveland, was because that was his first choice, right? So I would say, you know, the weather, he talks about cold. Well, Giants gets pretty cold in New York, but for Cleveland, yeah, I would say the Giants would be the Shador spot. And I think Cleveland could take Travis Hunter, go a different direction.
All right. One, I don't see the literal comp with DW4, because Deshaun had a say in this, and this is a draft.
Yeah, that was one of the more bozo things I think we ever could have heard.
Also, you can't
say cold weather. What did he say there?
You can't say cold weather and be like, but I think he should go to the Giants. Yes, yes, tropical New York City.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe their weather right now. We're 19. I believe they're 21. I believe they're about 21 degrees, so they clearly are. Man. I mean, they're 2 full degrees Fahrenheit hotter than Cleveland, and I think that's why it makes more sense.
There was a lot there. Deion has tweeted out the idea that he's not scared about anyone, about his son going to any one situation. Do you buy that?
No, because I don't buy here's the thing. I take a lot of what Deion says with a grain of salt. Yeah. And I mean that, because a lot of Deion is performative. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, it is. I mean, he's the guy that goes on 60 Minutes and says, who's the best college football coach going? Look, is there a mirror around?
Yeah.
That's who he is.
And by the way, a lot of it's really smart. Like, a lot of the stuff that he does that generate headlines in the end, if it's not catastrophic to the program, if it's not literally hurting the kids, it makes sense because you're just generating interest for the program.
Yeah.
And also, he's good at it. But yeah, I don't buy anything because Deion's playing a bunch of games at once, just trying to get a bunch of people to pay attention to his school and obviously to his kiddo as well.
Yeah, and him. It's the biggest thing. He's kind of a lot of Aaron Rodgers in him from that regard.
Deion?
Yeah.
But by the way, which narrative is dumber to you? The weather thing?
Oh, the Kuiper thing was by 12 times. I think the Ross point is a very interesting one, and one obviously, well, how would we know that story until Ross told it to us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is, if he really wants to beat to his own drum, okay, but that is something the Browns have to consider in their evaluations. But when it comes to the Kuiper stuff, that's ridiculous. He played school at Colorado. Come on.
216-474-0092. We've got some calls on this. Mike and Gino, you stick there. Here's a question I think kind of we're driving at. Does it matter if Shador wouldn't want to be here? Whether or not, that's next on 92.3 The Fan. I throw out the question that we kind of got to there. We're going to get to Mike and Gino and some of your calls here, 216-474-0092. On one hand, I'm kind of a little nonplussed. I'm not interested in the whole, well, does Shador want to be here? It's a draft. Call his bluff.
I agree.
Because here's the thing. If you really think he can change your franchise, why are you letting something that has happened twice? Is it twice in NFL history? It was John Elway.
And the Manning family.
And it was the Manning family. Yeah. And it's happened once every 20 years. This isn't like Yellowstone erupting where every 600 years, look out. Just because it's been 20 years doesn't mean we have to be on the lookout for Shador Sanders he's going to call his bluff. Okay, let's hold the phone on that. That feels a little sensationalist.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, even though it does feel like Deion would be the one person that would try to make this call.
Yeah, but
Deion has publicly spoken he's not going to do that, and he's publicly spoken about being cool wherever he goes, but it does feel like Deion would be the one guy that'd be like, I can make this call.
So here's the thing, though. I know Arch Manning had jobs after, besides just trying to figure out where Peyton or Eli was going to land.
Mm-hmm.
Deion's got one of the busiest jobs you're going to have in America. Does he really have time to dictate? Does he really, on top of recruiting, the portal, everything that raising money at Colorado. Do you really have time to do this? Because I think that's the cost value proposition. If you're Deion, Deion really does seem like, you know what? My kids are going to go do what my kids are going to do, and it's on them to make their own millions. I'm actually going to kind of put some work into the theory that if you're the guy that's like, go make your own money, you're probably not going to then be like, but you can only make it here.
I don't know. I mean, because it feels like he's got so much invested into the brand of both of them. Like, he's already made the call about both Travis Hunter and Shador and whether or not they'll show up to the draft in Wisconsin. He's like, no, we're doing that at Colorado. Both people are not, they're not going to Green Bay. They're not going to be a part of the NFL draft selection. We're going to do a party in Colorado with the people that helped him get there. Like, he's already starting to show some signs of that, Nick.
Bonjour Bob on Twitter. That's what I'm going to call him right now. Oh, yeah. saying it absolutely matters if he wants to be here. If he has no desire to play for this team and he underperforms, then we just wasted our first-round pick. I don't think it'll get there. If he didn't want to be here,
no.
Even if you take him, you just trade him this summer. So I don't. And by the way, if he underperforms, it's going to be because he stinks. Not because, no, I'm not saying he stinks, but you know, if he didn't play well, it's not going to be because, if I had only gone to Tennessee. If I'd only gone to the tropical climates of Mel Kiper's New York City, right? Global warming's not that bad, Mel.
Yeah, I
don't think that's the make or break.
I think we'd be in an area that I just don't think college football to the NFL is going to get to, even though I know some people have talked about, like, well, hey, these guys now make millions upon millions of dollars. Maybe they want more of a say. It's just not going to happen.
It's going to be really tough to have the Shedeur Sanders conversation for 4 months because there are so many bad narratives out there.
Just a lot that goes with the convo.
That have nothing to do with whether the guy is worthy of the number two pick, whether he's a potential franchise quarterback. And I'll be honest, I think that's benefited him sometimes. Like, I think his dad decreeing him as a number one pick, was it 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? I think he was still at his first college job. When he said that, I think some of that stuff has boosted the stock of Shedeur. I think in the draft process, it's probably going to hurt him more than it's going to help him, though. Let's go with Mike in Stowe. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, I am so stoked. I just booked a week in the Hamptons in January at the Mel Kiper Tropical Resort.
Nice.
And I am looking forward to that. I did not realize.
Beware the gators. That's all I'm going to say. They'll come out of the swamp and get you.
Oh, man, I tell you. So I'll tell you, here's where I'm at with this. It's like, I'm kind of with you, Nick. I have some red flags that can't seem to be going up in my mind about this guy. And here's the thing. Our previous quarterback, who's on the way out the door, good riddance, hasn't shown to be much of a leader. And at first, it seemed like the guys are always all about it. But for whatever reason, you could tell they're not. The distractions, everything else, we don't need a quarterback or a guy in that position that's going to create more distractions. We need a guy that's going to want to be – he doesn't have to love Cleveland. I don't care about that crap. But the honesty is we need a guy that's not going to create more distractions. And I would love to see him trade that pick because I think you're going to get more value out of kicking down. You're going to have the second-best quarterback available at that spot or maybe somebody's first-best. And there's a lot of offensive linemen. You could be trading down with somebody who's going to put you down to the 20s or something like that and get a really good offensive lineman, put a veteran back at the quarterback spot for leadership. I just think it's a better way to roll. And then you got two first-rounders next year for all those quarterbacks coming out. That's what I got, guys. Thanks.
Mike, appreciate you. You are the pro Shedeur man, so would you like to retort our friend Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the take a quarterback camp. I think it's interesting how we talk about like the different pros and the cons and what the association of Deion then offers up. Like, for instance, I agree with you 100%. I think if his name wasn't Shedeur Sanders and it was Shedeur Smith, it'd probably be a different conversation for a lot of people. But they see the Sanders with the last name and they think it just brings a circus. But some of the pros attached to it is Tom Brady in the previous 48 hours coming out and expressing how much he likes Shedeur Sanders and what a fan he is of him. And then released a little nugget that not many people knew that he was actually been doing some training with Shedeur Sanders as well. So it's like, if you want to do the trade out thing, there are going to be opportunities because the fact that Tom Brady spoke that way, if you love the trade out opportunity to get a bunch of picks, Raiders are going to give you a bunch. But then at sixth, I would ask you then, if you then swap with the Raiders, what's your next move from there and how do you get the franchise quarterback moving forward?
Is that a literal question or can we have it a different day?
No, we can do it a different day. We can do it whenever you want.
I want, I'll tell you what I almost called him on air without thinking about it. I want Mason Graham.
Yeah, you've been in his camp the entire time.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, with what you just said there, is there anything you can hear about Shedeur that will throw you off the scent?
Probably not at this point.
That's crazy. So just because you buttressed it with at this point.
What, this point?
It's January 8th.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time to have new information. There's 4 months.
Hold on. What game is he going to play? What he's done playing games. What game is he going to play?
I mean, you can find out more about the personal side of stuff.
I do love that idea, though. Everyone's like, it's January 7th or January 8th. It's way too early to decide what you like or don't like about these guys. It's like, he's not playing any more games. So the only way I get impacted is if I just put so much stock into what he does in shorts and a t-shirt, and then I just don't do that. You want to tell me it comes out in 3 months from now, and he's in bar fight after bar fight after bar fight or something like that, then yeah, there's always those opportunities. But based off of what we know right now, I have a hard time thinking I'm just going to be moved off of it.
I'm just impressed you got through your NFL evaluations before the NFL did.
I mean, well, the NFL had a whole season to go through where they were, you know, playing games and worried about their own team. Now they come into it, and now they enter the party. We've been doing this for months.
What you're really saying is get on my level, Cleveland Browns.
What game is he going to play? Answer me that.
I know. I'm just saying you could go back and rewatch the tape. There's a lot of things, you know, I'm just saying, like, I didn't know you had done the comprehensive eval yet.
I've done a lot. But what game is he going to play? All the evidence I would use is out there already.
Yeah, I think you're missing the point. The teams have not finished their they have not watched every bit of tape on Shador.
Right. They had a whole season to do. I got a lot of free time here, Nick. I got a lot of open opportunities.
216-474-0092. Does it matter if Shador Sanders doesn't want to be here? The 5 at 5. Next on 92.3 The Fan.